Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally O'Cordy, and you are listening to Public Advocate. I am running for Public Advocate of New York City to ban vaccines in 2013. There are three reasons I would like to ban them. One is for the poisons within them. Two is for the deadly outcome. And three is for the intent. So there's nothing stopping us now. Please visit my blog, which is Billion with a B, Billion Toddler March for Survival. Billion Toddler March for Survival.blogspot.com. Today we are going to be, interviewing two people, both with regard to 9/11. The first is going to be Les Jamison. And Les Jamison has an entire roster of events planned on the anniversary, on the 12th anniversary of 9/11. He's going to be telling us about that and about the vigil on Sunday. The vigil was held in remembrance of all who have died since, not just on 9/11, but since 9/11. Unfortunately, I have construction going on outside. I hope that's not disturbing the program from your end. Anyway, and he's going to be talking about the many speakers that he has recruited and also about the fact that he has a very special announcement, which I will allow him to make. Then I will be interviewing Joe Jones. And Joe Jones is an artist. He is both a visual artist and a guitarist and singer, composer, very talented. He has done a magnificent painting for Richard Gage and Architects for 9/11, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Really spectacular painting, which you will see flashing on the screen in rotation. And also, he is writing currently a song about the aftermath of 9/11. Very good, from what I've heard. I don't believe he's finished it yet, but hopefully by the anniversary of 9/11, it will be finished. Anyway, I'm going to pick up my guest right now, Les Jamison. Hold on, if you will.
Here I am.
Is Les? Hi,
yes,
Les.
Yes, it's me.
Okay, Les Jamison. Would you like to start by talking a little bit about the vigil?
The vigil yesterday, yes. Thank you, Sally. First, thank you very much for having me on today. It's, you know, a great pleasure, and I'm very appreciative. Yesterday, there was a vigil held in both Central Park, New York, as well as Zuccotti Park. And the vigil was for the purpose of calling to attention the death toll, not only on 9/11, but since 9/11. And this was named 9/11 Kills, and the website is 911kills.org. And Sally, this was to try and educate the world about the toll on the human consequences, as well as non-human consequences. In other words, financial consequences, environmental consequences of war that has all emanated from that fateful day 13 years ago. And the contrast, we all know 3,000 people or so died that day. Since then, with the wars and invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan, and then, of course, Libya, the drone attacks in Afghanistan and Pakistan, as well as you know, all the related deaths of soldiers, not only in America, but then when you add in the death toll of the civilian populations of those countries, it is staggering. And so what we did is we had one person dressed in white to signify the death toll on 9/11. Everyone else was dressed in black to try and signify the contrast of the many, many fold people who died as a result of 9/11 that day. So this was held in the park yesterday in Central Park, and then there was an action down in Zuccotti Park later on. They went down there and did it again. I was not there at that point, but I'm sure we'll be seeing photos of that.
Wonderful. Any photos you do have, if you send them to me, I'll include them in this radio show. Everybody will see pictures flashing on the screen. You have a very big announcement that I am actually Russia Today, I believe, RT Television, to the announcement. But you go ahead and say it yourself now.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sally. Well, Wednesday, which is the anniversary of 9/11, the 12th anniversary, there will be a major event in Times Square at 47th Street and 7th Avenue, right below where there is now a billboard that has been sponsored by Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. So we're having a Times Square rally, and this is the most phenomenal development ever in the history of this movement to call attention to the alternative analysis of 9/11. There's a billboard way up high there on the southeast corner of 47th Street and 7th Avenue in Times Square, and it asks the question, did you know a third tower fell on 9/11? Because millions of people still have no clue because it wasn't played on TV. The footage was not played on TV pretty much except for once or twice that night of 9/11. Okay, so most people do not realize a third tower, which was Building 7, fell. And the website for all this information, by the way, is rethink911.org. And so that's tomorrow in Times Square, and here's the time. Be there for 5 o'clock. And then there will be an announcement of the 5:20 time frame, because that is exactly when Building 7 fell. It was 8 hours after the attacks of those airplanes. Now, that's the time. That's the location. Again, the website is rethink911.org. And that is the culmination of a full day of events beginning at 8 a.m. There will be a vigil at Ground Zero. This is by St. Paul's Chapel along the back fences. It's on VC and Church Streets, starting at 8 a.m. And from there, they're going to go to City Hall for 9 o'clock for AE 9/11 Truth Petition, where they're going to be dropping off VIP packs, informational packs, to all 51 members of New York City Council. And in this information, we'll be challenging them to open up a local investigation into Building 7 and why it actually fell. From there, at 10:30 a.m., they're going to Democracy Now! To try to appeal to Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez to take a full view of all the evidence that has been accumulated over all these years that call into question the government's account of 9/11, which is just loaded with discrepancies, lies, errors, omissions. Then 11:30 lunch break. From there, at 1 o'clock, they're going to go to the New York Times building because, Sally, the media has got to be alerted to the fact that millions of Americans know we've been lied to about 9/11. We also know that the media is censoring and blocking this information. So there's going to be a gathering at the New York Times building, 1 o'clock. And then from there, at 2 o'clock, they're going to the BBC and ABC studios, which is right there in Times Square. Then from there, they're going to Fox News headquarters at 3 p.m. And then MSNBC and NBC at Rockefeller Center at 4 p.m. From there, over to Times Square location at 47th Street and 7th Avenue at 5 p.m. Now, the speakers for the 5 p.m. rally, ready? We have Cynthia McKinney. Coming up, Absolutely, from Georgia. You know what? If we have time, if you'd like me to, let me give a little bit of background about Cynthia and her significance with 9/11. We also have international lawyer William Pepper, and he's just such a phenomenal investigator and phenomenal figure in the social justice movements. He's basically an international civil rights lawyer. Then we also have Bob McElvain, who's a family member, 9/11 family member, who lost his son that day, and he has been very outspoken over the years in calling for a new independent investigation. And then we have also Reverend Frank Morales, Episcopal priest. He's an incredible researcher, highly knowledgeable about the issues of 9/11, and also just knowledgeable about the actions and policy of the deep police state. He's an expert in martial law, expert in the militarization of America.
Posse comitatus.
Posse comitatus. Programs like Rex 84. Programs like Operation Garden Plot. In these operations, these black budget operations to set up scenarios where martial law can basically be enacted, and this has gradually been set up provide the infrastructure for the complete wiping out of any dissent in America. Okay, and to protect these corporations that are part of the Homeland Security State, and to protect all corporations whose entire reason for existence is profit over people. And so what's happened is...
This is all part of the war on terror, and it has certainly come home to roost. So I want people to support Barbara Lee's bill and the War on Terror, which is H.R. 198. Go on, Les.
Sure. So that's who Frank Morales is. And we'll also have two alternative media personalities and experts, Tom Kiley and Lenny Charles. They co-founded INN World Report. They were on TV for a number of years on cable channels around the country, reaching as many as 22 million homes. They had a half-hour alternative news show, and they were really well-known for their deep, intensive, investigative reporting and also their coverage of 9/11 from a very journalistic standpoint. So they'll be there. And then, of course, Richard Gage. Oh, my God. Richard Gage, he is just a marvel to behold. You know, here's this guy who was a Republican, you know, just believed in red, white, and blue America, you know, the greatest and all that. And one day he's riding down the highway, and on his car, in his car radio, he heard David Ray Griffin being interviewed and talking about his work and his book, The New Pearl Harbor, which, by the way, everybody must read. The New Pearl Harbor. That is a primer. That is a must read. And once Richard heard that, he went, oh, my God. And he had his, you know, rude awakening, and he went and started to do some research and then realized that what he had been told was not truthful. And Richard, being an architect and a man of scientific analytical background, applied his expertise to analyzing the collapse of Tower 1, Tower 2, and, of course, Building 7. And once he realized that every characteristic of those collapses meet the criteria of controlled demolitions. Then he realized, you know something, there's no way Bin Laden and these so-called 19 Arab hijackers got into those towers and placed demolition charges. So what we know from this scientific analysis, including the fact that those planes that hit those towers could not have caused those collapses because they were built to withstand the impact of multiple airplanes. And also, he knows, you know, and all who have the scientific background, who study the analysis of the fires, those office fires, they know that those office fires were never even anywhere close to being hot enough to melt steel. And it just goes from there with another like 10 or 12 different areas of analysis that, again, is criteria that the only explanation of the collapse of those towers could be controlled demolition. So Richard Gage then sought out to create this organization, and it became called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And he wanted to get 1,000 other architects and engineers to look at the information, sign a petition, and basically become a member and sign on to the call for a true independent 9/11 investigation into these attacks. That was his goal. And then once he had 1,000, he was going to take that to Congress. Well, as of yesterday, the number was 2,016 architects and engineers. And he's done well, first let me say this. He spent several years going all over the country and around the world, at least 13 foreign countries, giving I think it's about a two-hour presentation with this big PowerPoint slideshow. And he would ask the audience in the beginning, how many people here believe the official story? And he'd see a show of hands, and then he'd do his presentation. And by the end of the presentation, just everybody, he'd ask the same question, show of hands of how many people here believe the official story? Nobody, by the end of his presentation, believed the official story, because it was just that logical and that well constructed to prove that the official story was false. So this is who Richard Gage is. Also, he's done a couple of documentaries, and his most recent one is called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, in which he has, I think it's 41 or 42 architects, engineers, and scientists all giving their testimony about their analysis and their assertions that the government story could not be true. And also, these experts, many of them have analyzed the government's official analysis, which is done by the organization or the agency called NIST, which stands for National Institute of Standards and Technologies. And these experts read that report, and they just tear it apart and say this is not even scientific in its approach. And by the way, Sally, I attended like 5 of those hearings, and I could see the cover-up happening. You know, it was very much orchestrated, and they looked. It had the cover of official sanction and official authority, and all they were doing was making the facts fit the government's account of what happened in 9/11. It was all totally bogus. So that's what Architects and Engineers is all about. And their website is ae911truth.org.
Well, Les, you have done a spectacular job in the limited time that I have given you. I would like to say who Les Jamison is in terms of 9/11 truth in my life. I had gone to be a videographer for the Granny Peace Brigade when they were doing a protest of Guantanamo prisoners, And normally, I was the only videographer that showed up to these peace protests of any level, but there were three others. So I just, you know, saluted them and walked out because for the first time I was not needed. And I walked out and I saw a picture of the Twin Towers, and it said Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And I thought, well, I'm certainly going to see what that's all about. And you and Frank Morales were co-hosting the very first video that Richard Gage had made, Blueprint for Truth, I believe it was. And all I can say is I certainly did buy and distribute many of those copies. But you were the ones who introduced me to it at St. Mark's Church many moons ago. And then
I remember you there with your daughter.
Oh, my God. Well, we came to many of your events thereafter. I'm not completely sure if that's the one I brought her. I don't know if she was with me that day, but we went to many of them after. You had the best forum in New York City. It was incredible. But I want to say then you did another showing of his, not Blueprint for Truth, the second one that you just said the name of it, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. What was it called?
Experts Speak Out.
Experts Speak Out. And again, I got to see that because you are the activist that you are, and you're very effective, Les Jamison, and I salute you for all of your efforts to educate people. And now tell us, how did you get that billboard up? I'm very interested in that.
Okay, sure. Well, this is the organization, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. They are very well supported around the country. Richard Gage and his team put together a petition a few years back, and up to the date, there's maybe 30,000 people around the country signed it, which is a lot, but it's not a lot. But it was enough to garner support here to raise some funds to do this very well planned and well orchestrated advertising campaign. And the idea, Sally, was to do to look into having this billboard in Times Square to see if it would be possible, if they would even allow such a billboard. And sure enough, they did. And I guess.
My eyes popped. I thought anything's possible. I also want to say the name of the lady who rode her bike across the United States with AE 9/11 Truth raising awareness. What is her name?
Rena Patty. Yeah, that was phenomenal. She was also a member and supporter of Architects and Engineers, and she went from her home. There's a little island off of Oregon or state of Washington, maybe. I think it's the state of Washington, way up by Seattle, and rode cross country to New York. And I was there when she came in to New York, and she rode all the way down to where Building 7 is in Ground Zero.
Well, Les Jamison, I want to thank you for your activism. A friend of mine just said that Bob Bowman, who was an activist, passed away in August. Are you familiar with him?
Absolutely, yes. Colonel Bob Bowman, we hosted him several times.
And 2 years ago, we lost our dear Alicia Ritt, and I want to give her a shout-out. I'm going to be picking up my next guest. Congratulations, Les Jamison. Wednesday sounds like an unfathomably interesting and important day. So everybody, please go to rethink911.org, and cheerio, my good friend Les.
You bet. Thank you so much, Sally. Take care. Bye.
Sure. Bye-bye now. Hi, is this my dear friend Joe Jones?
That it is. Sally, Pally, Pally. How you doing there?
Well, I just interviewed Les Jamison, who's having an unbelievable roster of activity, all very significant in terms of legislatively, in the media, vigils, the opening of the billboard. I mean, what a day. And the speakers are off the charts, not the least of which is one of my heroines, Cynthia McKinney. So this is beyond exciting. I just wanted to say also that Joe Jones is the artist for just, you will see it flashing on the screen, a magnificent painting of the towers and the architects and engineers with Richard Gage centrally located. And that is just the most beautiful painting, Joe. You did a great job. How long did that take you to execute?
You know, I worked directly with Richard Gage and many of his wonderful colleagues there. You know, that actually was in the works for about a year. And I got to tell you, that particular piece was one of the most important, the most profound, and really ultimately one of the most difficult and heart-wrenching pieces of artwork ever I've done in my entire career. I mean, to study and to work through all the details and to see these faces, you know, day after day, it really was emotionally and intellectually and certainly spiritually just taxing. And it ultimately, again, it turned out extremely well. And I certainly thank Richard Gage and my buddy Sean Bresendine for making that piece possible, and the one, you know, all the people there. But that was basically their 10th anniversary commemorative Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth illustration. It was a fine art piece. And I got to tell you.
Well, let me just say to everybody that I have the artwork that I use to ban vaccines. That is Joe's work. When I ran for office, I recruited Joe to do the artwork for that as well. And he does all kinds of artwork. Right now you're working on a website for me. But the fact of the matter is you can find out more about him at airmail-greetings.com. But you also won an Emmy Award for your artwork on a project regarding flight.
Yep, that's correct. You know, and that's sort of how I come into this in a sense, as a historian and an aviation artist, which is technically what I do. So starting to get into the subject of, 9/11 and the aircraft and all of the dynamics and the physics that go into this, you know. As a historian, you got to ask yourself, what the heck is going on here, and kind of putting things into context and just, you know, analyzing detail. From an aviation standpoint, you know, again, there's so many things that just cannot ring true as far as, you know, the official fable that we were all sold. You know, it was a made-for-television fable. And, you know, as you go back through this, again, you know, we could talk about details. We could talk about many, many, you know, aspects of this. But, you know, yes, I again, am a internationally awarded aviation artist, and I understand aircraft extremely well. Studied them, you know, virtually my whole life, and have had the joy of working with some of the America's, in fact, some of the world's top aviation pioneers, from Chuck Yeager to Boris Vallejo, the Soviet MiG pilot that defected and flew his MiG-23 into the airfield in China, which created an entire international incident in itself. But I know Victor Belenko is his name. Remarkable story in itself. But, you know, I, again, as a historian, I look at this information and kind of put things into context. And as an aviation guy, is, you know, it's just a humanitarian and just someone that cares about our world. I got to tell you, Sally, it's a very, very difficult thing, and that's why
you know some of the Tuskegee Airmen. You know Neil Armstrong.
Yep, you know, these are Yeah, these are again just the legacy that I walk in the shadows of. Again, you know, I'm the adopted white son of America's very first black jet pilot, as well as America's first Top Gun. Colonel James Harvey, him and his darling wife Pearlie, have adopted me over the last decade as their first white son, and you know, this is a real deal. You know, I've stood at, you know, of course, the final resting place of American pioneers, or I should say American patriots, like combat soldier Audie Murphy. I've stood at his grave in Arlington, and as he passed away on May 25th of 1971, he could not have possibly imagined what would happen just three decades later. You know, he passed in 71 and in 2001. Of course, as the World Trade Center towers, all three of them were attacked. You know, Audie has got to be rolling in his grave to see and just kind of understand the dynamics and just how our generation has betrayed his generation by not demanding for answers. And I mean, just to think that if you study the details of 9/11 and everyone that was kind of in charge and at helm and this and that, not a single one was fired. In fact, in fact, most of them ended up getting, you know, big promotions and on to, you know, the bonus round. And, you know, it's just on a historic level, you know, again, guys like Audie Murphy must be just flipping out going, my God, how could you people have allowed this to happen and continue to? But I'll just tell you, let me just back up and just thank you, Sally, for all that you do. Out of all these American pioneers and visionaries and leaders and extraordinary inventors and veterans and visionaries, you know, I do very much know what real heroes are and what they're made out of. And I could put a very fine point on it, but I got to tell you, Sally, in today's world, I put you at right up there. You know, it takes a lot of, you know, guts and devotion to do what you do day after day after day. I watch you every single day. You're a remarkable patriot, and I am just honored to be a friend and, of course, be asked on your show today to talk about such matters. But, again,
I don't want you to let this show go by without saying a word about your mentor, because I see the love in your eyes as you hug this man, and I just want you to say a couple of words. He's your artistic mentor, you are an artist, so please share a few words about him if you would.
Oh, you know, I've got several, you know, I do have several mentors. You know, again, Colonel Harvey, my Tuskegee Airman buddy that is our first Top Gun pilot, he is very much, you know, part of that. In just days, I will be able to celebrate 5 years to the day on the 15th of September that I quit smoking cold turkey. And it was because I made a promise to several World War II airmen. But along with my mentors, one of my greatest mentors was Bill Smoot. He was a 50 mission P-17 pilot. He helped me launch my company, Air Mail Greetings. He was also NORAD's very first director, and this guy was my best friend. I know history. I live it. I live it with the men that created it, that built it, that forged it.
Your artistic mentor, a gentleman who's a flight artist as well.
Yes, of course. One of my dearest mentors is his name is James Dietz, who is a I revere as the finest aviation artist ever, one of the finest storytellers in the world. And his mentor, of course, was Norman Rockwell. James has got, I think, 7 or 8 pieces in the Smithsonian. And the day I met him in his studio, he really saw what I was doing, and I was just floored. And as we were getting our photos taken together there, he turned to shake my hand for the photo, and he stared me straight in the eye. He said, "Joe, I'm passing you the torch." And
I got a chill when you said that.
That was a game changer.
You have artwork in museums. What museums are your artwork in?
Oh, you know, again, I've got artwork on 5 continents worldwide. I've got work in the Tokyo International Airport, the Smithsonian Air and Space, museums throughout the country. You know, again, and that's kind of, you know, that's who I am and such. But, you know, to really just kind of segue, certainly from the art of my passion and such, going into the work with Richard Gage and then pressing on into, you know, really why we're here, why we're talking about all this and bringing things together as a creator.
Well,
I
have to keep moving with you. You're also writing a song about 9/11, are you not?
Yes. In fact, that's one of the things I kind of wanted to just kind of mention. There are many, many ways that people can make every difference in the world. You know, much like what we've been pushing is, you know, particularly right now, call your senators, your congressmen, you know, call the White House and just scream bloody murder about what they are trying to perpetrate right now as far as trying to get us into another war for profit and empire building in Syria. Well, getting on the phone. You don't even have to get off your butt, you guys. Just pick up the phone.
You don't even have to get up. You can get off your butt and you can go to your congressman's office, because I have to tell you, when I called my congressman, I said, I'm going to be over in 2 hours. Why hasn't she signed the letter saying that Congress is required to vote of Lee or Riggle? I'll be over in 2 hours, said I. And by the time I got there, she had signed it. So people, you know, I don't have a promise that she will vote against war. I certainly have made a call for mercy. And Schumer's office picked up the phone today. I almost fell off my chair. Well, I said mercy, and then I said, in case you're not sure, that means to oppose. And they said, we know. I said, then why is there a call for conscience versus constituents? If you understand that mercy means to oppose, why is there a call for conscience versus constituents, please?
Exactly.
But nonetheless, let's get back to you. Do you like to share any of that song, or shall we move on to the letter that you wrote to Bonner's office?
I will try to cover as much as I can in the short period that I've got. Yes, in fact, I am a musician and have been virtually my whole life, and I'll kind of just talk briefly, as I was kind of explaining, for us regular people, you know, comrades in the trenches here, as, you know, even as we call loosely activism, you know, which just means having the good sense to know what is wrong. You know, you just have an inherent sense that something's not quite right, and then you start to look into it, and you start to realize something is not right. And at that point, you've got a decision to make. Do you talk about it, or just keep it to yourself? And that is a turning point for any being, you know, whether they, you know, take the chance of being, you know, called a kook or whatever, you know, ad hominem that, you know, attack someone could give you, which is attacking the messenger as opposed to addressing the message itself. It is what's called a fallacy of logic. But we get into, you know, this transition where we are today, and I'll try to talk about, you know, as opposed to getting into, you know, all of, you know, the details that call out all this, but kind of talk about it on a humanitarian kind of level and a historic level. You know, I could talk about all these details, but let's talk briefly about what we can do to help, again, explain and try to shed light on these things. We can just talk amongst ourselves after doing some research and just ask questions, which is what we've done since, you know, September 11th, 2001. We've asked a lot of really needed questions, and we continue to. We can get to the point where we become more vocal. We start knocking on doors. we start, you know, talking on radio shows or producing our own radio shows. There's any measure of things, all measures, I should say, that we can do, calling, you know, our representatives and such. There's a lot of ways that we can reach people. And I always, as an academic, I taught at two different area colleges. And what I used to teach my students is that you can communicate with people on virtually just three levels. The first is intellectually, you know, facts, figures, names, numbers, you know, who, what, when, why, that kind of stuff. And then there is, you can reach people on an emotional level, which, of course, is how the media, how the, you know, oligarchs, the powers that be, you know, have controlled this and continue to, is virtually through, you know, things like fear and greed, hate, false pride, blind loyalty. Those are the five top methods in which they prey on us and our emotions. Then we get into the third, which is a spiritual level, which, you know, again, if you can tap into, if you're talking with someone and you can reach people on those three levels, and particularly at the same time, you are brilliant. You are a genius level communicator. Here about 6-7 months ago, some colleagues of mine, activist friends and other musician people, we banded together in the efforts in writing songs that have meaning. Activist songs or songs of protest. You know, our umbrella was much more broad. That every song was it had a significant story and some meaning behind it. It wasn't just typical kind of blah blah blah, you know, boy met girl kind of thing or other nonsense. It's really much more significant. Well, our first song is a song about the truth. We're truth activists. We were taught that, of course, the truth is a good thing and it should be revered as a virtue. And our first song talks about how the truth is marred, you know, from the time you're a kid and you're told, well, there's little white lies, that they're okay. So you start to go through this process of learning how to lie. And it goes, you know, all the way up to, you know, politics and the media and the military and all this and all these people that are, you know, lying to us and kind of call them out on it. So that was that song. It's called Like a Song. The second one that we're almost completed is, again, a song about 9/11 specifically, and it's called House of Cards. And in this song, what we wanted to do, and I'll make this as quick as possible before we run out of time, my colleagues and I wanted to use virtually every educational aid or technique in the book, by even the use of chakras and sound, you know, the sound of vowels and understanding how that elicits different feelings, which is a really interesting concept, to write a song using certain sounds and being able to plot that out in a song, how you want people to feel during the chorus and this and that. It's very interesting.
Joe, my friend, knowing that we are going to be cut off momentarily, what message would you like to send?
Well, again, everyone needs to understand that we were absolutely lied to, and that we need to basically step up to the plate. I'll leave you a couple quotes here. One of my favorite journalists of all time, Edward R. Murrow, once wrote, "Our history will be what we make of it. If we go on as we are, then history will take its revenge and retribution will not limp when catching up with us." Of course, Lou Rockwell, who I adore, wrote, "You shouldn't believe anything the government says until it's officially denied." And then, of course, rock star, of course, the leader of the old band Black Flag, and just a brilliant guy. I kind of compare him to the likes of George Carlin. He wrote, "A coward hides behind treason," or excuse me, Henry Rollins wrote, "A coward hides behind freedom. A brave person stands in front of freedom and defends it for others." which I very much appreciate. Absolutely. And that's
Joe. Well, thank you, Joe Jones, for calling into my program today and sharing your artistic achievements and all of the interesting stories and some wonderful quotes and